CFC podcast. Each episode brings you proven strategies to grow your martial arts school and amplify your impact. Backed by EFC's decades of supporting the world's most successful martial arts schools, we're sharing practical solutions you can use right away. Because the rising tide lifts all boats. Let's raise the standard together. Today, we are joined by John Kokinos and Master Buzz Durkin of Buzz Durkin's Karate School.
All right. Well, why don't we start out? Thank you so much. You know, what the heck is really good service, right? What is good service? What the heck is it, like blue ribbon customer service? And how does that application of putting students first help us with raving fans? And moreover, what do those raving fans do? Are you sitting down to help our organization grow? Because that's why we're here, is to help the organization grow. And where do we find school directors that can talk about this, who has put in decades into this idea of student service, and who truly can speak on this, not in just theory, but in application? Well, right here at EFC, Mr. Buzz Durkin. And before we start out, I just wanted to say, well, hello there. Welcome to EFC's masterclass. I'm John Kokinos. And with our masterclass and with our annual summit early October, and with our EFC community, you're going to hear a little bit about our online community, where there's so much content and so much back and forth, and networking is fabulous. With our community, with our technology, our EFC CRM and our lead generation websites, these are just a few ways that we are helping your organization to achieve greatness. And we take very great pride. And this is such great opportunity to hear from Master Durkin. It's really just so wonderful. So Master Buzz, I don't know how to introduce you except to say that you're a favorite of so many people for what you represent. When I reach out to people, I say you were going to join us, you know, they say, oh, I really love Buzz. And I don't know what you've done over the decades. And it has been, Master Durkin, it's been absolutely decades where you've been showing the way, building your own building, maintaining and retaining all your students. It's absolutely incredible. And before I ask you the first question, the proof is in the pudding. Anna, could you show us the proof is in the pudding as far as student retention?
Fifty.
Mr. Buzz, that's a testimony right there. And for people to be with you for decades, so there's got to be a philosophy. There's got to be a Durkin philosophy that makes that work. Maybe you can give us a little understanding of that. Give us a little hint.
Well, I think, actually, that was an interesting video we did. And it was just a typical Saturday morning advanced black belt class. It wasn't something we did for the video. It was just, we decided to do it after class, and that's what came out. So I think our philosophy has been, we teach people first, martial arts second. People first, martial arts second. So the concept of technique and learning technique is one thing, but real power, the real power doesn't come from the technique. The real power for an individual comes from the transformation that student, that person makes by practicing the technique hard, by working hard on the technique. So the transformation is really what's important, gives a student real power. The transformation from the type of person I am, I have more patience, I have more confidence, I have more belief in myself because I'm practicing this particular art. And that relates to every aspect of their life. I think what happens is people first, martial arts second. It's yeah, that's the order in which we do things, regardless of what style we teach.
Yeah, Master Buzz, let me just say it. You, for you to have these students for decades, you got to be thinking not about just tomorrow, but long-term relationships.
Right. We have the second part of our philosophy is we think long term and we think in human terms. So we think of long terms, even if it means in the detriment of losing some income in the short term. How's this person going to think of me 5 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now? Will he send his son or his daughter to see me or his grandson to see me? So we think long term and think in human terms. Everyone we deal with has a heart, has a soul, has emotions, has feelings. And if we are keen and tuned into them and treat them like the way we would want to be treated, we're obsessed with providing outstanding customer service. We're obsessed with providing outstanding student service. And it all comes down to the people come first. It's not about, we use the front kick to develop patience, confidence, willingness to work hard. But what is someone more likely to use on a regular basis? A front kick or patience, confidence, belief in self? And that's kind of our attitude. People first, martial arts second. We always think long term and we always think in human terms. And we try and provide a huge value to the students.
Yeah.
Huge, huge value. And the value always has to exceed the tuition we charge. As an example, if we have an increase in tuition, we will never increase tuition unless we add some value to it. So what are we going to do to make things better? Was it more private lessons, upgrade the changing room, whatever? We always add value whenever we do an increase in tuition. So think long term, think in human terms. Martial arts.
Before I ask you a bigger question, the bigger questions, Mr. Buzz, I know that you profess that when somebody you're in somebody's presence, if you're at your desk, you automatically just stand up. You just stand up. You want to greet them, right?
Yes, we do that. We have everyone. We have the program director. Everyone does that. That shows respect. That shows courtesy. So someone comes in. No one sits down. They stand up. We may sit down eventually, but taking care of people is so important. It's so easy. Let's face it. We all know this. It's so easy to hide and stay in your office. Even don't do that. Like
Yeah.
every person that comes into our door every day, we get up and. Even though it's a class I may not be teaching, I'll say hi to the parents and the younger siblings watching the class. It's just
Yeah.
what I think I'd like to be acknowledged. Everyone likes to feel a little special.
Yeah, and Buzz, you also have this philosophy of MB. Remember those, what that stands for?
Well, management by, is that what you're talking
Yeah.
about? We
Yeah,
have
management by walking around.
MBWA, management by walking around. So it's one thing to sit in a desk. It's another thing to just get a feel, get a flavor for what's going on at your school from each classroom. Management by walking around, I think, is so important, and it's so important for the parents and the students to see you caring and being active at the school. I know some dojo owners that just like to sit in the office. They're not teaching class, and I'll let people come and go without saying hello. And that never happens here. I think people appreciate that.
Yeah, and the young students that you find out in the corridor, what example do you want to leave with them? I mean, how can you talk about this philosophy and go back and shut your door? Anything come to mind as far as how you're treating every student?
Well, it's interesting. We lead by example. I think if I'm walking down the hallway and I see a piece of paper on the floor, I'll stop and pick it up. The note job is beneath me. Students, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, they see me doing that. If the same thing happens 2 weeks later, they'll automatically pick up the paper and put it away. So I think it's we lead by example. People watch your every move. People study with you because they want to have the certain traits and qualities that you have. And if you treat people with kindness, with compassion, and teach them something of value, then people will stay with you a long time. I think one of
Yeah.
the treats, the things we've been able to do is relate what goes on in the dojo to their life outside the dojo. Learning a spinning back kick, or it's wonderful, but that's not really going to stand by someone for decades after decades after decades. That might be appealing when they're 10 or 20, but if they get 30, 40, 50, that's not so much appealing. But the work that they put in to develop, the transformation that took place within that person to develop that spinning back kick, or whatever it is, things that they can use in their daily life. What's useful outside these dojo walls? Confidence, belief in myself, patience, showing courtesy, showing respect, all those things we all teach in our schools. And I think it's important to keep reminding the students of how that can happen, how they can use this, that same patience it took to learn this form can you can show it at a work project or a school project. So I think that's kind of what we do quite a bit.
Love it. And you always talk about when you go in, Buzz, you're sitting down there. How can I add value? How can I add value to the marketplace? How can I add value to my team players, to my upper belts? You're always trying to figure out value versus like what I charge. So what's your philosophy on that?
The value always has to exceed the tuition you're charging, and you can't just willy-nilly pick a number out of the air and say this is my tuition. You got to be thoughtful about how to do it and what to do. I think that value that there's so much value in what we all do. I mean, think about it. Where else can a student go and develop physically, mentally, emotionally? Develop friendships that last at the martial arts school. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And if you keep reiterating and making the students aware of what's happening, they'll stay with it forever. It's not that they run out of, I've got enough patience now. I've got enough confidence now. Those are things that we all need in daily life. And the dojo is the perfect place to find them,
Yeah.
to find them.
Hey, Buzz, I always have shared with you, and you've kind of showed me in different ways that, you for over decades, and you see these black belt students, 42 years, 37, you haven't been there to really take up the easy. It ha always hasn't been really that easy for the span of your life. But let me ask you, as a career martial artist, how do you feel, Buzz, about the relationships that you built? How do you feel fulfilled about that when you look at all the efforts that you made in martial arts? What the heck does that mean to Buzz? What does it mean to you?
Well, I think it's a wonderful thing. We've created a culture here that people like to be here. They like to be around the positive environment that the dojo provides. And again, it's all predicated on technique. And what we do is a physical art. It's a physical art. We can't get away from that. But too many teachers think it's one-dimensional, physical only, and it's so much more than that. It's making the student aware of the fact that what they're learning on the floor can be directly applied to their lives outside the dojo. And if you can do that, students will want to keep coming. They'll want to keep coming. And we've created a culture, like I'm sure most of the students listening today, a culture that people want to be a part of. Listen, imagine if everyone in the outside world was like the people who would come to our dojo. It's wonderful.
You kind of say good things come in threes, Buzz.
I
You said
do.
to me before, good things come in threes. Could you expound on that?
Well, I think we have to do three things. And if you do these three things, students will want to be around you. Number one, you have to teach something of value. Don't teach fluff. Don't be passive. Don't promote just for the sake of promoting. Teach something of value. So I think the first phase is we have to teach something of worth, of merit. Next, you have to expect it. Expect it from your students. If you teach them something of value, you have to expect to have high standards. And most importantly, teach it. Expect it from your students. Model it. How they look at you. So you have to teach great things, expect it in return from your students, and most importantly, you have to model proper technique, proper behavior, proper personal interactions. And if you do that, people will want to be around you because they'll want to be like that. So teach something of value, expect it from your students in a very positive way, of course, and then model what you've been teaching. And I think the biggest failure might be in modeling what we teach. But so if you teach patience, always show patience. If you teach confidence, be a confident person. And I think we say good things come in threes: teach, expect, and model. Another thing that I think, speaking of threes, that we do around here is, I think the teacher has to foster three important concepts. The teacher has to foster within the students the idea of commitment. This is going to take a commitment. You can't not make a commitment and expect to be good at this. You have to make a commitment to the training. Secondly, diligence. You have to work hard. There's no getting around it. It's not fluff. It's not cake. It's hard work, commitment, diligence. And thirdly, and I think we drop the ball a lot of times, and you have to foster within your students the idea of patience. That it's going to take time. So commitment, diligence, and patience. And we kind of think of those three things all going together. And I think people need to be reminded it's hard work. People have to be reminded that it's going to take time. And if you make that fun along the way and enjoyable along the way, and people are meeting other people with like interests along the way, people will stay with you.
So everybody has their own relationship approach with leadership. And some people are dictatorial and, this is my way type of thing. And other people have different dispositions on how they approach. So how would you characterize the Buzz Durkin approach to everyone?
You have to ask my wife Judy on that one. I don't know. I like everyone on this call, I have a passion for what we do. I've been so blessed with the martial arts. It's a new, I couldn't count the ways. So I'm just very grateful. Any student that comes in my school and do, I'm just very grateful. So I would say my attitude is one of, here we go back to joyful, grateful, and hopefully humble. But grateful for anyone who comes through the doors and joyful for having the ability to do what we do. We have such an opportunity to make a difference in people's lives, that it's just wonderful. So my leadership method would be to start with joy, just be happy. I love being here. It's a passion I have. And I think if the sensei, the teacher, exudes that confidence, that attitude, the students pick up on it. And people are at your school because they like you. If they didn't like you, they wouldn't be there. So it behooves you to be likable. I said two words in my book, be affable and unflappable. I even like the way they sound together. Be affable, be happy. Be joyous. Be unflappable. Don't let the little things get you. Don't let the little things bug you. And people will want to be like that. How many people get blow small things out of proportion? If they never see the sensei doing that, always calm, cool, collected. I want to have those qualities. I want to be like that. And I think that's another thing that'll keep people long term. So culturally, it is amazing, if I can say so, that we have such tremendous retention. But I think I've made it kind of like a home away from home, where everyone's joyous and everyone's happy to be here, and they're doing something of value. They're doing something of worth. They're making themselves better. Even if they never want to compete or fight, I'm making myself stronger. As I get older, I'm keeping my flexibility. And these are things that the people just don't run out of wanting to do that. It's very important to stay healthy. We offer the perfect venue to stay healthy, the perfect venue, physical, mental, and attitudinally.
Buzz, let me jump in. I'm reminded of the relationship with my own father, and he was always saying, "You got to pick up the paper clips, like you said. You got to turn out the lights." It's like the Greek papu theory. It's a total ownership mentality. Now, you have had your own facility. You've had to figure out how to pay off that and pay for that facility over decades. You see the container in the parking lot, you're walking past it, you see it, you walk around with eagle eyes. You have this incredible ability to own everything, because my father used to say, if you can manage these three marbles, then tomorrow you can manage four marbles. So it was a total dedication to this extreme ownership mentality. So what does that mean for you, Buzz?
Well, that's very important. As a matter of fact, it's interesting you should hit on that point, because we have an expression around here, and I want everyone, and my right-hand man, Marcus Trainer, is wonderful at this. It take on an owner's mentality or an owner's eye. So I want everyone who works here to have an owner's eye. The owner knows that that heater is on now. There's no one in that classroom. The heat shouldn't be on. A class transpired without me checking out the men's room between classes. So I'd like to think that everyone who works here is developing the owner's eye, that only the owner can see that. There's dirt where people came into, they had dirt in their boots. How long is that dirt going to stay there? Well, for me, I'd go over and sweep it up right away. I get the program director to do the same. So I think that if you can get your staff to develop an owner's eye, your life will be much easier, and it just brings the culture to a higher level.
Yeah, I love that so much. You have made famous this idea. Buzz, we always kid around,
What's that?
somebody is helping you and they say, "No problem." Like, no problem. But how many problems you got, man? Don't
Yeah.
tell me about all your problems. So you were really good at talking about this idea and what's stirring in
Yeah,
your head.
my friend Anthony Arango always reminds me of that. I tell a story of in my book. We had a guest speaker, and I went up to the Atkinson Country Club, which is a nice facility in the town here, to get a gift certificate for this individual. And I said, I'd like to get a gift certificate for, and the girl behind there said, no problem. And then she said, and then I said, it would be for such and such a person. Do you want their name written on it, or do you want to write their name on it? I said, I'll write the name on it. No problem. Do you want it in an envelope, or do you want it in without an envelope? I said, with an envelope, please. No problem. Well, by the time I got through there, I was thinking, oh, there must be something wrong, because I don't have a problem. So we always at this dojo, it's always my pleasure. It's my pleasure to serve the students. It's my pleasure to serve the students, and it's not no problem. Get that out of your vernacular. That's not, and it's meaningful, and it's my pleasure to serve the students. But in serving the students joyfully, it helps me too. Talk about money. A real successful school brings profit to the student. And if you find the students profiting, your expenses will be taken care of. You'll be able to do fine. So a really successful school brings profit to whom? It brings profit to the students. So it's not about how can I get more money? How can I get more money? It's about how can I better serve the students? How can I make this a better experience? And the first time I met your dad, it was an awesome. He was such a wonderful man. He called me into his office and said, "Buzz, I'm going to tell you what to do." He says, "Put your students first. Students first. Take care of your students. Make the students experience an unbelievable experience. Don't focus on money." Those were his exact words. And then he said laughingly, he said, "Now, if you do this and you pay attention to the students, the money will come in the front door. The money will come in the windows. The money will come in the heating vents." And it was primary motives for me to focus on, gee, that's maybe focus on the correct thing, which is the students profiting versus trying to make money. I mean, we all have to make money. We all have to pay the bills. But I feel as if I've been very lucky. I don't consider myself a great business person. I don't consider myself a great martial artist, but I do consider myself someone who loves what they do. And the martial arts has been wonderful for Judy and me. And yeah, it's been great. The building's paid off. The house is paid off. Everything gets nice. It's nice. And I think as more time goes by, our job should become a little easier. It's so wonderful when you have a father come down and say, "Buzz, I want to enroll my son. Give him the same education you gave me." Now, how hard an enrollment is that? That's, you're not trying to talk anyone into anything. And this happens quite a bit here. It's not unusual for and I'm mentioning this because you can do it too. To have a grandfather, a father, and a grandson all come into the dojo on the same day, three different classes. So
Well, you're speaking common sense to us, and the why it's so valuable from multi-generations here. Listening to you is that as a martial artist, it grounds me again. It stabilizes me again. It prioritizes me again. So when I go to my own team, I'm pounding on the beautiful idea of getting students to be raving fans and yelling from the rooftops, "Hey, Buzz, I don't know if you could recall this, so please forgive me, but you have a cute little story. You said it a while back, so it might be catching off guard. But the hint was a taco. And I don't know if you remember that story, if you'd like to share it, or how you feel about it. If you don't, it's totally okay."
I remember that story because it was very, very interesting. Greetings are important, but be careful. Greetings are important, but be careful. I was sitting in my office one day long before classes start, and the car pulled up to the front door, and I recognized the person as a former student. And I said, I forget his name. I said, "Jimmy." I said, how you doing?" "Oh, not so good." And I said, "Oh, now I'm in trouble." And I said, "Come on in." I said, "How's Cindy, your wife?" "Cindy divorced me." And then I said, "Oh, how's little Benjamin, your son? How's he doing?" "She has a restraining order on her. I can't see Benjamin." So this guy is just walking in my door. He's 30 seconds in my door, and I'm already reminding him of every negative thing that happened to him. So in the last ditch effort, I'm going crazy. He had a dog that used to sit in his truck when he went to class, little Chihuahua named Taco. And as a last resort, I said, "How's Taco?" And he looked at me with the saddest face I'd ever seen. He goes, "Taco died." Within 1.5 minutes of him coming into my school, I made him think of every negative thing that's happened to him in the last several years. So we say things like, "Thanks for coming. I'm happy to see you. It's great to be here. Greetings are important, but be careful how you do it." Another thing is, if you say, "How you doing today?" you could get involved in a 5-minute or 10-minute conversation when you want to see other people and just say hi to everybody. So greetings are important, but be careful.
I love that. Anna, could you jump in here and maybe you could open it up a little bit?
John, can I mention one thing, John?
Please.
I think these are important. I have five things that I think every school should have. And if you have these things, you will be successful. And everything I'm talking about is so simple. These are just simple things, but you have to discipline yourself to do it. And number one would be a friendly greeting. I've had people come in my school saying they've gone to other schools and they just stood there for like 5, 10 minutes before anyone even talked to them or looked at them. So every school needs a friendly greeting. Take a personal interest. Every school needs the ability to make students feel special. How can I make this one student feel special? A my pleasure attitude versus a no problem attitude. And lastly, forward thinking. I do a traditional style of martial arts. You know, I respect tradition, but I'm not bound by it. So I think those things are friendly greeting, personal interest, the ability to make someone feel special. Everyone likes to feel special. My pleasure attitude, not a no problem attitude, and forward thinking. How can I make things better? How can I enhance the experience here at the dojo? I have to because I'm obsessed with making it better. And it's very interesting. Everything I'm talking about is the human condition here. It's not technique. I'm not talking about arm bars, choke holds, side kicks. And we all have great curriculum. And how we relate that curriculum to what's happening on the dojo floor, but more importantly, what's happening in our students' lives outside the dojo. If you can relate those things, you'll keep students for a long time.
That really inspires all of us, Buzz. It really does. That's a life lesson, a lifelong philosophy that embeds itself into our priorities, into our motives, into what's important to us. I think it's really an important, valuable, so valuable lessons, like a treasure chest. Anna, where would you like to go with Mr. Buzz?
Do you guys want to talk for a few minutes about the do's and don'ts, or do we want to head to questions first?
Buzz, you
I
want to
can,
go to the do's and don'ts a little bit?
yeah, I could do those quickly, sure.
We could pull those up, Anna, if you like.
Perfect.
This is called Durkin's Daily Dozen. This is the do's and the don'ts. Don't think of work as a transaction. Do build relationships, even if it's an exchange of tuition. Build a relationship. Don't think of anything as a transaction. Don't assume anything. Do consistently communicate. I can't tell you all the challenges I've had. They can always come back to my assuming this. Well, I thought he thought this. I thought he meant this. So don't assume anything, but constantly communicate. Don't be short-tempered and abrupt. IP is so important right now. We develop infinite patience and infinite positivity. So infinite patience, we have to have that as teachers. Don't hide from or avoid people. Be accessible. I shake my head when I hear people say that, oh, so-and-so is coming into the dojo. I'm going into my office and hide. So be accessible. Don't expect gratitude, but always show appreciation. Always. That's critical. Never say, don't say no problem. Always say my pleasure. Don't think any job in your school is beneath you. Do what needs to be done, from cleaning the toilets to putting new toilet paper on, or whatever it is. Don't run your school like a democracy. Run it like a benevolent dictator. And that is critical. Parents don't know how to run your school. They're not the sensei. You're the sensei. It's your business. It's your school. Listen to them, but run your school like a benevolent dictator and not like a democracy. Your martial arts school will not be successful if you run it like a democracy. And don't focus on money, focus on students and focus on student service. And those are our do's and don'ts, and pretty much don't ignore anyone, get out of the way to greet everyone by name, get up off the desk, go into the classroom, greet every student, greet every parent. Don't be bound by tradition. I already talked about respect tradition. This is another interesting thing. Don't be timid about anything at your school. It's your school, it's your baby. Don't be timid about it, including tuition. Be confident in everything you do, including your value and your tuition. I get the biggest kick out of some school owners saying, "Mike, I've got the best curriculum, I've got the best this, I've got the best this," and they're afraid to charge the proper tuition for what they're offering. So be confident about everything. And if you're confident even about your tuition, people will pick up on that. if you're confident about it, they'll pay the tuition. But don't be shy about that. So those are some do's and don'ts that we do here at Durkin's Karate.
Great reminders.
Thanks for tuning in to Raising the Standard. Until next time, keep elevating your school and amplifying your impact. EFC is proud to support martial arts schools worldwide. Visit EFCMartialArtsBilling.com to learn how we can help your business grow.